Hello and welcome back to The Gold Coast. I've been corrected. This is The Gold Coast.
The Gold Coast.
Are you from The Gold Coast?
I am not. I'm from Brisbane.
Oh, okay. Which is just
I come down. Yeah, I just come down for a little bit.
Fantastic. We're here with the awesome Jess Dodson. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Fantastic. Why don't you tell us who you are and what you do?
I'm a system administrator. I work for Queensland Government. I've been a sysadmin for about 10 years. I'm big on all things sysadmin and IT ops. Mm-hmm. I'm massive on promoting system administration as opposed to all the others. There's a big push on coding for everyone. Everyone wants coding and programming and hacks and all that kind of stuff.
Right,
whereas
right.
I'm operations and...
But you're also an MVP.
I am an MVP.
What kind of MVP are you?
I'm an MVP in data center and cloud management.
What does that mean? I always wonder, like, what do these things mean? Like, I'm a Visual Studio and blah, 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 real super long, but what does it mean to be an MVP in that area?
For me, so I think I got mine mainly based on a lot of the blog posts that I'd done and some of the talks I'd done. Mm-hmm. So the data center and cloud stuff, it's all the infrastructure stuff behind it.
Okay.
So it's looking after the tin, looking after the operating systems, everything that sits behind what lets you do what you guys do.
I see. And so would you say you're more IT pro, more dev, just a good mix of both?
I'm very much IT pro, trying to move a little bit into dev because that seems to be where things are floating towards.
So, okay, look, I'm a dev. What would happen is I would write some code and then I would throw it over the wall to you and then you would yell at me and be like, hey, it doesn't work. So why don't you tell me, like, from the other perspective, what it's like to be an IT pro with a dev like me that doesn't check stuff?
No, it's from my point of view, I like my devs and we need to work more with them. I like the idea of DevOps, the whole idea of collaborating more and working better together and actually communicating rather than yelling at each other.
Sure, sure.
From our perspective, we're just trying to keep our systems running, trying to keep our systems secure, and trying to keep them homogenous, making sure that everything is the same pretty much. So that way we've got an idea of how things are going and that things are working as we want them to.
Mm-hmm. And so, but how do you do that? Because devs are always looking at ways of improving things or adding things or making things bigger. It seems like IT pros are always trying to make sure things are maintained.
Yes.
At a very good, solid level. And I feel like those two are at odds.
We need to change a little bit. So we were very rigid. We were very, oh my God, everything has to be locked down. We need to change a little bit to be able to move because devs are moving way faster than we are. And we need to move with the times and actually become a little bit more lenient. Hilariously, I'm actually talking in my hack talk about how we can say things in a better way, phrase our refusals better,
nice.
To actually work on those relationships with our users and our developers.
So how do we, because I feel like you're saying you're super nice and you're like, well, IT pros, we need to be a little bit different in this. What are some things you feel like devs can do to make the job of an IT pro person a little bit easier?
Think of it from our perspective. So think of security, think of whether it's going to be scalable, think of whether it's going to function in other environments rather than locking it down. So one of the issues that I have with devs is you have to use this version of Java, you have to use this version of runtime, and that's it, it's locked down to that. I want things that are actually going to be workable in when I upgrade my operating system, when updates get applied, and things like that.
How do you, like, because you work for a large organization.
I do.
How do you even begin? Is there like some software that has an inventory of all the software you have? All the versions you have, I mean, is that how you do that?
That's SCCM, System Center Configuration Manager.
See, and I don't know anything about that, so please help me, enlighten me, because it feels like I'm like inventing the wheel here again, ladies and gentlemen.
No, we use System Center Configuration Manager to look after our fleet of all of our desktops to know what applications are out there and currently being used, and we're looking at using it on our servers. It's so that we have a base level of this is what everything is, this is where everything is currently sitting, and when things change, we're alerted to when things change.
So what, I've heard the name, but, and again, forgive me, all you IT pros out there sitting there rolling your eyes at me, I don't know what that software is. How do you install it? How does it work? Is there an agent running on each machine? How do you know what's happening?
Yes, so there is an agent running on the machine. So System Center Configuration Manager for us is it's quite a number of servers for us. And it's a whole bunch of different tools that run on multiple servers. I'm not in the team that looks after our System Center Configuration Manager. So I work in the IT operations team I'm a very small team of server management. My team is a team of about 10 people. in a team of about 150 people
that
look after all of our IT infrastructure. And that's just IT operations. That's not including developers or project managers or anything like that. That's purely IT operations. So I'm very siloed and segregated in the things that I can do and see and that kind of stuff. So,
but, I mean, that's good and that's bad too, right?
It is. So you become very specialized in specific tools and specific applications. So my tools of specialty are, I do Active Directory, I do group policy, base Windows Server and Windows Server security. I'm starting to look at Microsoft Advanced Threat Analytics and moving into Azure and Office 365 administration, but that's pretty much where I see it. Whereas we've got teams that are devoted to System Center Configuration Manager, and that's what they do. We've got a whole team that looks after our Exchange environment and email and SharePoint and our messaging environment with Skype for Business and all of that kind of stuff. So I don't even touch any of that. I look after the operating system that that all sits on, but I don't touch any of the applications that sit on it.
So how do you manage that?
It's a pretty big deal. So being able to manage that number, so I look after with a team, in the team that I'm in, there's about five of us that look after somewhere between 700 and 800 servers that are all VMs, or some of them are TIN still. We're trying to get away from that a little bit.
Oh, I see.
But we look after them from a point of view of making sure they're updated, making sure they've got all the right patches, making sure they've got all the right applications on it, the right people have access to them, all the security for them, all that kind of stuff.
So there's got to be some fun evolution, because I mean, IT Pro back in the day was, you would wait for the day that that box of CDs would come, and you'd be like, yay, they're here, everybody. We're staying over the weekend, and we're making Exchange go from 4 to 5, you know. That's not how it is anymore, or is it?
We don't wait for the CDs, but definitely updating Exchange will take you over a weekend. If you speak to my Exchange admins, it will take them quite a while.
Yeah, I get that.
I don't know, in terms of it changing for us, everything is moving at a much quicker pace. So we're having to keep up with the changes that are coming through. Cloud is the big one for us. So we are very much all on premises. We have all of our servers, all of our VMs sitting in a data center somewhere. We're looking after them. We're looking at moving into the cloud. And I think a lot of people are in the same situation as us, where it's, how do you get there? What skills do you need, and what tools do you need in order to be able to get to that point?
So I think this is a good segue into, how do you even begin to start thinking? Because you just talked about, well, we have our own Exchange server. It's being managed by some folks. They get a new update. They spend the weekend making an upgrade. How do you move from an environment like that, that is System Center Configuration Management something? I almost got it.
Just call it SCCM.
SCCM, yeah, almost got it. You have all of these tools running on your environment. How do you begin to move towards the cloud? Is it a
very slow?
Is it a process of literally saying going from a tin box into VMs into? I mean, tell me about that.
From my perspective, it's, you've got to start with the underlying services first. So things like identity need to go into the cloud, so that way you've got authentication up there and you can actually log in properly and people can access it. And then it looks at what applications are best off moving up into the cloud. From our point of view, we may not have everything move up into the cloud. We will probably still be a hybrid environment where some stuff is kept on site, but it's working out what things will work moving up. And that's probably where we're sitting at now, trying to work out what applications will work up in Azure and will function properly and will work better.
So let's start out with the first thing. You mentioned the first, because it was interesting that the first thing you went to was identity.
That's because where I sit.
So, oh, I see.
I'm big on the identity space. So that was probably the first piece that we actually did look at. So we looked at Azure Active Directory and tying that in with Office 365 and making sure that everyone was able to access it and that we've got all of our licensing set up. And
so, I mean, but I have to agree, like the first thing you have to do when you move to cloud is you have to be able to identify who your people are and who are not your people.
Yes.
So is that, how would someone go about, is it a migration? Are you moving your Active Directory into the cloud? Are you having your Active Directory locally and then syncing to the cloud? How does this work?
For us, it's local, but there's also, for a lot of people, they are looking at moving it to the cloud. I know a number of SMBs that are looking at putting their entire AD up in the cloud because it's just easier to put it up there. It really does depend on your own environment and what works best for you. For us, working, because I work for a government organization, we tend to want to keep a lot of it in-house for ourselves. So, yeah, there's a little bit of that.
So what suggestions do you have for someone that like, let's just say the CEO comes down and is like, we need to move everything to the cloud now, and you have a system like yours, or systems, many, many thousands. I mean, obviously, if you're in a bigger dig hole, you need to start with the first scoopful. Where are we going?
From my point of view, you'd at least want to start getting an idea of Azure. Get one of the Azure subscriptions and be able to play around. Make sure you understand what it is that you're going to be doing. Build an AD up in the cloud. Make sure you understand how identity works in the cloud. See if you can synchronize it back down and tie them back down. You may need some new services in your own environment. So things like ADFS, the Active Directory Federation services, you may need something like that. It's a big, massive piece of work. It's not small. It's not the kind of thing you can do over a weekend.
It's like we're eating a mountain of ice cream. Yes. Where do we start? We're so excited.
One spoon and just keep going. It is a long slog process. For us, it's going to be months, if not years, of work. For a lot of the organizations that I know, the big ones, that's how long it will take. It's like moving off of Windows XP. Getting off of Windows XP is not something that you can just do overnight. It's something that takes time and you actually need to work towards.
And that's interesting perspective, right? Because us devs, we're like gung-ho. We're like, oh, here's the next thing. We got to do
this.
Look,
it's new
thing.
And shiny.
It's new and shiny. I got to use this. But for you all, it's like, well, where are we going to put it? How are we going to make it work?
Who's going to look after it? How's it going to be maintained? Do we have the skills to be able to look after it? All that kind of stuff. So the training is probably the biggest one as well. Because things are moving so quickly, you need to be keeping up to date with it. You need to keep learning. Is probably the biggest one. You can't just let your skills lapse. You need to be paying attention to what's coming up on the horizon and learning more. So coming to something like Ignite is fantastic because you get all the new stuff that's coming along.
I think it was Richard Campbell of .NET Rocks fame said that software is free as in puppies are free. Like you get
that's
a free
exactly
puppy,
it.
But then it's going to pee on your sofa if you don't watch it.
You got to feed it. It's not free.
So let's talk a little bit more about you mentioned this DevOps thing. It's a new, interesting. How would you describe DevOps?
It depends on which perspective you're looking at it from. From my perspective, you've got developers and operations, and the two should be working together to be able to collaborate and build products and build applications faster and make things more secure because you're getting the operations perspective and the developers, you're getting the developers perspective of the operations. For a lot of management, I don't think they're seeing it that way. I think a lot of them are saying, DevOps, we can cram two roles into one person and that's how it's going to work.
Oh, so that feels horrible.
We're seeing that a lot more, that a lot of the positions that are being advertised now are you need to be a developer and an operations, and that's what they're looking for. They want one single go-to point for everything. I don't know how that can work.
There can't be very many people that are like that.
I wouldn't imagine there would be. I think because what I see, they're very different types of roles. They're very different personalities.
It's like being a tester and a developer. It's like the tester. You see what
I'm
saying?
Very different. Yeah, they're very different.
Like, they like catching things on fire and breaking things, right?
Yes.
Developers are like, you're killing my baby. You know, you can't.
And that's how we kind of feel about our systems. We feel very similar about that. We're like, no, you can't do that on our systems. No, you're not allowed to do that.
So let's talk about, you mentioned from the IT pro perspective and the dev operations that they're kind of, hold on, it looks like can you hear now? Hold on, they're making an announcement. We'll wait. What are they saying?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Are we good?
Important announcement. Did you hear the important announcement? No. It was like...
Can't have been very important.
Okay, sorry for that little interlude. But I wanted to get your perspective on how would you do DevOps properly? Obviously, you don't smush the roles. How do you do it properly? I want a concrete scenario.
You need your developers together, and you need your operations together, and you need them to be working together. So if you're building an application, if developers are building an application, they should be speaking to their operations team and saying, what kind of considerations do you want me to make in terms of this application? Are there security considerations that I need to be looking at? Are there accessibility issues that I need to be focusing on? What kind of platform are we going to be putting this on? Do you have situations in the future where you're going to want to be doing any upgrades or things like that? That's the kind of interaction that I want from my developers rather than, here's this application, you need to now look after it.
And it feels like it's just another part of like we had this thing called integration testing in the developer world where we're actually testing, how is this thing working across the layers, right?
Yeah.
And it feels like this is like an even more meta, how are these things working across machines and people and how are we getting out? So I've heard a lot. Donovan Brown's a good friend of mine. He says rub a little DevOps on it. He always talks about people, talks about process, he talks about products. Can you describe each one of those things from an IT pro perspective that will help a dev understand how we can work better together, operations-wise?
So from a people perspective, the biggest one for me from a people perspective is that we don't hear from our devs until the product's finished and they want to throw it over the fence and now it's ours. Sorry, we're done, that's it. No more, you get to look
after
it.
Good luck.
That's pretty much it. From a process, we'd like to see that streamlined. So I'd like to see more interaction in terms of when something's being developed, it's actually being, there's communication between all the teams. And it isn't just IT operations as well. So it isn't just the team that I sit with. It would also be your end user testing as well. Mm-hmm. The team that has to look after speaking with the users should get some involvement as well. So your help desks and your service desks, they need to be a little bit involved as well from my perspective.
How do you do that in a good way?
I honestly have no idea. It's such a tough one. It makes sense to do it, but I wouldn't even know where to start with that.
All I know is that like when you have communication between two people, it's like a single line.
Yeah.
When you add another people, now there's three lines. And so there's like an N choose two, like which is order N squared problem. Anytime you add another person
you're
to the
community. You're just adding more people.
So is there, and we see tools that are coming out like Microsoft Teams and others. How would you even begin to start to help that communication problem?
There shouldn't be a barrier.
Okay.
So one of the things that we found, our developers sit on a totally different floor to where we are. Mm-hmm. It would be easier for us if we sat closer to them. We could hear what was going on when they're in the middle of doing a production release. We were involved in that. We could hear what was going on. Those kind of things help. It's not big things. It's little things that would help the communication.
So let's talk about products. What are some cool products that you're seeing as an IT pro that are going to help this DevOps process be really good?
I agree with you on Teams. There are other products, but I won't sell those, but other collaboration tools that are being used. We're seeing more things that are being able to pull online. So people who are completely disparate, they're in different locations and regions, rather than having to rely just on email as their only communication tool, being able to use video chat and collaborate that way, particularly in meetings as well, to be able to have everyone involved rather than, I'm sorry, you're not in the office today, you miss out. Other than that, from an IT pro, there's very little from us. We're kind of waiting on you guys to develop it.
Dang it, we have work to do. There's a couple of things that I've seen that are interesting and want to get your perspective on. Infrastructure as code. Have you seen anything like that?
No. What am I missing out on?
It feels like there is some things like Chef and Puppet or ARM templates that let you define architecture like infrastructure as code. What do you think of that kind of thing?
I like the idea of it, but I need to learn more about it. That's probably one of the biggest problems that we've got is that, at least where I am, we're slow to adopt.
Yeah.
So we're kind of a little bit behind the eight ball in finding these things. It's the same as containers for me are a massively big thing. I'm really interested to see how those kind of things work. Because from a IT ops point of view, for a developer, they look fantastic. It means that you've got your own little area to be able to do what you need to do. You're not going to tamper with anything underneath. Go for your life and do what you want to do.
Nice.
That to me sounds fantastic.
Let's talk a little bit about your talk. You have a talk today. What is it about?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
I have a talk tomorrow morning. So the talk is called Explain Yourself, and my talk is all about the things that we as IT pros say that our users and our managers and our organization find really frustrating and ways that we can phrase them better in order to get everyone on board and understanding what it is that we're actually trying to do.
So get people to be nice humans? Is that what it is?
Pretty much. One of the biggest issues that I find with a lot of IT pros, we can come across as pretty rude and condescending and patronizing, and we're in customer service.
Yeah.
We're there to serve our users. So if we can find a way to be a bit nicer towards them, that would be good.
We had a DBA once at one of my jobs that was just like, no, you can't change the database. What do you mean?
And that's exactly it. So that's actually one of my examples. So we say no a lot. A lot. We say no way too much. And usually when we say no, there's a really good reason that we say no. We say no because there are security considerations or there are practical considerations or there are skill shortages or whatever. If we can phrase that as a perhaps we could try this or a better solution would be to look at this way. It's a much nicer way of coming across and just saying no, you can't do that.
Feels like it should be titled how to how to talk to your kids about not doing dumb things. In a nice way.
In a nice way.
In a nice way. So give me some more scenarios. I mean, there's one, how to say no nicely. What other scenarios do you have?
I've got one in regards to going to your management and saying, I need this. Most of the time, they're not interested in what you need. They're interested in trying to find the business requirement that's behind it. So if you can say you can improve productivity, or you can improve your cost benefit, or you get a return on investment for it, if you can provide that, it's a much better way than going, we need to do this.
Yeah. That's true. That sounds like an awesome talk. The last thing I want to get into is, what are some of the cool technologies that you're seeing come up that you're interested in learning, or you think people should learn, stuff that you've been doing?
The containers is probably the big one for me. There's also, now that you mentioned, the infrastructure as code. So I have looked at Puppet before. I didn't realize that it was called infrastructure as code.
Maybe I'm getting it wrong. I was trying to ask.
Automation side of things. So from our perspective, we're seeing VMs breed like rabbits.
Sure.
They just grow and grow and grow. And being able to manage them in a much better way without needing the overhead of so many people needing to look at each individual machine, the automation of management tools is really, really cool. So like the operation management suite that they've got, I really wanted to see Rafaela's talk and I missed it, so I'm looking forward to catching that on Channel 9.
Yeah, we will put it up. Now we really have to put it up.
Yes, pretty please.
We got it.
A lot of the Azure stuff, so the Azure automation and templating and all that kind of stuff, that's what I'm really interested in from how my job is going to change.
Yeah, and I mean, it's an interesting time for developers and IT pros, because with the advent of the cloud, there's some changes that have to happen.
Lots of changes.
So I'm pretty excited about that. Now, the other thing I want to ask you about, how did you become an MVP?
It was very out of the blue, actually. So I write a blog online, girl-germs.com, on a whole bunch of stuff that's IT related. And from that, I do a number of IT pro articles on managing Windows Server and Active Directory and group policy and general system administration stuff. And I then got asked to do a talk at Ignite. So I came and spoke at Ignite Australia 2 years ago, I think, 2015, and did a really great talk there that rated really well, apparently,
yes,
which was awesome. Because then I came and did the same one over in New Zealand.
Oh, that's right.
It was the same talk.
Yeah.
And it went down really, really well. And from that, the fact that I'm very active on Twitter and I do sort of, I communicate quite a lot with the IT pro community a bit. That seemed to get me flagged. So someone actually nominated me, which I thought was really lovely. And that was how I ended up getting my MVP.
That's awesome. So we have some questions coming in from the interwebs. Mm-hmm. Ask Jess how much she loves Server 2003.
Thank you very much. Server 2003 was the bane of my existence for a long time.
Why? What happened?
It's an old operating system. It was going end of life, and I was pushing really, really hard at my last.
And they didn't want to get rid of it.
It wasn't that they didn't want to get rid of it. It's the whole treating servers like cattle, not pets. They treated they were their babies, and they didn't want to get off of them, and they wanted to look after them. And I'm pushing really, really hard. So I got rid of my final server the end of last year. My final server 2003 box disappeared at the end of last year.
2003?
Yes. 13 years.
What year? 13 years.
13 years. Yes.
How do you even like? How does that even? How do you? I'm trying to understand how that even worked.
It's one of those Hail Mary kind of just keep it going, and if something happens, just throw a pinch of salt over your shoulder, turn around three times, and just hope that it comes
goodness.
Back. Yeah, Server 2003 was a big project for me to get rid of, and now I'm working on the Server 2008 decommission.
Oh my goodness. All right, well, here's the next question. How important is going on Microsoft courses to you and your team, and how many of your team are certified or looking at getting certified?
I honestly don't know how many of my team are certified. I am certified, but I did that as part of my university degree. In terms of Microsoft courses, I find them really useful. I really enjoy going on them because you do learn a lot, because the people that they have teaching them, you can teach yourself online as much as you want. You can do courses online and all that. It's the person who's teaching that you can get more information out of. Usually if they're a Microsoft certified trainer, a big shout out to Wayne, who's lovely. He probably taught me everything that I know about Windows Server when I first started.
Go Wayne.
But yeah, so the courses are, from my perspective, really important, because it's the trainer that you want to try and get information out of, because there's so much that they can't teach you in such a short amount of time. If you're doing it online, they can't include all that information.
I see. So the last thing is, I wrote down that you like to make baklava.
I do.
Tell us, like, I don't even know how that, how do you do that?
It's really, it's phyllo pastry. So it's pretty quick and easy. It's a disgusting amount of butter and sugar. You don't want to know how much
butter
and sugar.
Are you bringing in, like, tubs of butter and stuff?
Oh, insane amounts of butter. Like,
you're making me hungry, Jess.
It's amazing.
Do you have baklava back there? She's got some. She's got some. So tell me about the last time you made it, because it sounds like something I would do.
I made it about 2 years ago, and I made a whole tray of baklava.
Sure, sure.
And then I ate the whole tray myself.
I would have done exactly the same thing.
And
I'm
so
not even kidding.
My husband has banned me from making baklava at home ever again. He's like, no, no, because you won't share it. You'll eat the whole thing yourself.
Oh my goodness. Look at that.
Oh,
ask
it,
you shall receive. Very good. We're so spoiled.
Aww.
So that's so cool. I would have done the same thing. My wife would have been like, where's the baklava?
It's the same as, like, I bake cupcakes all the time, and I always make, like, double the amount
of icing.
Why
don't we live next to Jess, man? She makes cupcake and baklava. We're sitting there trying to get stuff out of the vending machine. Homegirl tries to push it so she can get two every time. I'm just saying. By the way, it's been a pleasure chatting with you.
It's been lovely chatting
to you. I have learned a lot about how to move from IT pro to the cloud, how to do some DevOps stuff. We got a little bit of taste of the baklava. I'm excited. Thanks so much for watching. Around the break, we're going to have Coatsy talk to Alec Tucker. Oh, no, sorry. Peter Gatt and Chris Fowles. What are you guys talking about?
Good.
Open source. Open source. So that's coming up next. Just around the break. Thanks for spending some time with us. We'll see you around the break.